Okay, good to be with you once more tonight. I believe this morning a part of the message was being courageous. And we at Emmanuel, we were looking at the second coming and talking about the return of the Lord Jesus. And the thing that hit me very strongly is that how complacent we can become. This is not my message, by the way. How complacent we can become because we get comfortable. And I think as Christians we can get comfortable. We live in a very protected environment, really, compared to our brothers and sisters who are in China and North Korea and the Middle East. And so the thing that really came across was that we need to be prepared that the Lord Jesus might come at any time. And that should mean that daily we are expectant that he's going to return. We should be looking for his return. Which means, would I live any differently than I live today if I knew that Jesus was coming even tonight or tomorrow at midday when he might return? And he is going to do that. There was the expectancy in Paul's time with the Thessalonians that he would come back soon. And that will happen. Will it happen in my lifetime? I don't know. It could. Will it happen in yours? Maybe for some of the kids? Who knows? But we should be ready. Okay, my message this evening, and we're going to have a word of prayer in a minute, but is each of us an evangelist? And so we're going to do something a little different in the beginning of the service. So we'll find out in a minute. So let's just bow our heads in prayer. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you once more for the opportunity of being here. We thank you, Father, that you know each one that is bowed in prayer before you now. You know each of our hearts. Lord, you know where we are on our journey with you as a Christian. So, Father, we pray tonight that the Holy Spirit would give me a liberty to speak. And, Father, that we would see the Lord Jesus uplifted and glorified. That it would be our desire to serve him and to remain close to him. So, Father, be with us now, we pray, in and through Jesus' name. Amen. This evening, I want to do something a little different. And so, one of the things that I see as I read in Scripture is that Paul was commissioned to go off and to preach the gospel. And he saw that his role was to preach the gospel to the people who were not saved and to people who were not Jews. So tonight, each one of you that is here is actually going to be commissioned to go as an evangelist. There's a shock. You didn't think you'd leave tonight being an evangelist. But that's what I want to do. I want us to think along the lines that the Holy Spirit has commissioned each of us. As I read the scripture, I don't know what happens for you as you read God's word or as you listen to God's word as it is preached by different ones, but I listen to preachers much to my wife's not her delight, because I often listen to a podcast when I'm going to sleep, and I listen to preachers. Now, I don't know what your wife or husband would think if you did that, but she's not impressed sometimes, because I go to sleep within about 5 minutes, she hears the whole of the message. So there you go. But as I listen, I am convicted, because I hear, you know, about Matthew 28, and how many times have we heard about Matthew 28 and going into all the world, and we're going to hear it again. But I'm convicted because there were people like William Carey and Hudson Taylor and Adoniah Judson who were convicted by the same word that we hear, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. But they left the comfort of home and they went off to a mission field. And each of us are commissioned tonight because each of us have a mission field. Whether that mission field is in the immediate vicinity where you live, but we have a mission field. And I want to commission you tonight, and I know this might be a little different, but I want to commission you tonight because part of your role as a result of being here is that you are commissioned to take the gospel into Hazelbrook. Which means as you go to the shops and as you may carry some tracks with you, as you go to the shops, who walks a dog, by the way, here? Who's got a dog that they walk? Only one person? Two. Is there any more hands? Are we all done? Only two people walk a dog. Let me ask you, get dogs, because people, you can tie them up in the shopping centre and people come and pat them. And oh, what a lovely dog. You know what? You can talk to those people. So, anyway, you're going to be commissioned. And the commissioning is to go into Hazelbrook, to Lura, and then the upper Blue Mountains and the lower Blue Mountains. And then when you're done there and they're all converted, you can start to move out into Penrith and Sydney and Australia, and maybe we go into the rest of the world. And so this is not meant to be light-hearted, even though I might sound a little light-hearted at times. It is a serious thing, because I see I have no other option but to share my faith with people. It is a challenge for me when I walk into a shopping centre to share my faith. And it should be a challenge for each one of us to share our faith as well. There's a reading that we're going to have a look at. So if you've got your Bibles, let's turn to Romans. And it's something that you see every week, because I saw it up on the screen. Romans 10:15 is there. We're going to look at Romans 10 and verses 1 through 17. Maybe for the sake of time, I'll read it. So it says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved." So Paul, this was his compelling thing always, that people might be saved. "For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does these things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaks to this, or in this way. Do not say in your heart, 'Who will ascend into heaven?' That is to bring Christ down from above. Or 'Who will descend into the abyss?' And that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? 'The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart.' And that is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Now, let me just break in there. The background to that verse there as well is that in the time of the first century church, the Romans would go around with an image of Caesar. And they would come, the soldiers, and they would say, "Worship Caesar." And if you were a Christian, you'd say, "No, I can't. I worship Jesus. And unless you renounce Jesus, you're going to lose your head." So now when you think about, if I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart that, I know it says in your heart, but in my heart, that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. So if I profess Jesus in those times and lost my head, I had assurance of salvation. And that's a little bit of what Romans 10:9 is about as well. Okay. "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, 'Whoever believes on him will not be put to shame.' For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And in those verses, there is a sequence that we actually need to take backwards. And that first sequence talks about how shall they hear unless one is sent. And so as we go out to share the gospel with people, there is a process that we need to actually follow. And that first one is the first step is that we need to be sent. Paul was sent. I'm commissioning you tonight to go out and to share the gospel. So we'll see. I'd love to come back next week and see what results we have. But it's a serious thing. We're going to stand, and I'll talk about it a little later, before God one day and give account. So we are to preach or share. So we're to be sent. The next step was to preach or to share the gospel, which means that we might share our testimony. Or hopefully all of us have taken the time that we could sit down and share what is the gospel with someone in a clear and precise way. Each of us need to have been able to have done that. It needs to be something all of us have done. So we engage people. Why do we engage people? That they might hear. So the process is that they are sent, we preach, and then the people hear. And the fourth step is what the Holy Spirit now will do. It's not just up to us. We simply have to become a vehicle that the Holy Spirit can engage with. And he can use us, because who saves people? Have I ever saved one person? The answer is no. The Holy Spirit is the one that does the saving. We need to simply be willing. We need to be available. And if we're willing to take that step, and yes, it's scary, I know that, but you know, the more you do it, it doesn't come as scary. But we need to be able to be willing to take that step and to speak up. And so they will hear and believe. And in Romans 10:13 it says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So they hear, and what do? They call on the name of the Lord. And Romans 10:9 comes into play, because then they confess. One of the men, and I've shared this with Max already, so he's going to get a repeat here. But one of the men who is in our church, 15 years ago, I was in a business lunch, and we sat down, and I used to give these out even back then. And so I gave him $1 million, and I shared the gospel with him. He was a Catholic. He'd been married a couple of times already. He had a son. And he was very much attracted to the gospel. And back then I was pastoring a church as well, and he was very interested in everything. But, you know, nothing took place. And probably about 5 years ago, he ended up working where I used to work, and he got in touch with me on LinkedIn, actually, if everyone looks at LinkedIn. He was on LinkedIn. So he wanted my phone number, and I got it to him. And I got his. But he only stayed there 3 months. But then what we can do is we can take our phones and you text and you say, hey, I've been praying for you, and I just want you to know. And so that's what I started to do. And then I sent him on the same thing, I sent him a testimony by a guy called Ray Comfort that he might hear that as well. And so as time went by, a really strange thing happened. I feed birds in my yard. See, I'm getting older. You do that when you get older. And so down the backyard, I put seed out and changed the water. Every day when I changed the water, he would come to mind. So I'd start praying for him there in my backyard. And I'd send him a text and say, hey, really strange thing. I'm changing the water for the birds and I keep praying for you. And so he then rang me. And he spent 2.5 hours on the phone. I can listen. I know I can talk, but I can listen sometimes too. He spent 2.5 hours on the phone telling me all his problems and how he was living with this woman and things weren't going well, and on it went. So 12 months went by, another phone call, but this time about 1.5 hours, same deal. And again, I just kept texting him and saying, I'm praying for you. And I regularly prayed for him. This story is nearly finished, by the way. And so finally, this one time, I got a phone call from him. He said, where's your church? Because I'm down in Sydney. And I said, oh, this is where I am. And I sent him an address and all that. He came to church. My wife didn't come that day because she had a migraine. And I said, why don't you come have lunch with me? We had a 3-hour lunch. And I got my iPad and I shared the gospel with him over that period of 3 hours. And I challenged him to ask the Lord Jesus into his heart. And he did that. He was in a real mess. He didn't know what to do with this woman that he had really was missing, and he was away from her. And they'd lived together for 7 years. And he kept asking me for my opinion about things. And I said, look, I can't give you my opinion. I can tell you what I see biblically, but I can't tell you what to do in regard to her. So he was out of work as well. But then we met again the following week. What took place then was that this woman didn't know what was going on, and she wanted to know what had happened to him. And so she said, what's happening? I rang a church in Brisbane that was near her and I said, look, there's every chance this woman might come along to church. If she does, can you talk to her? She went to church and she was saved. The two of them wanted to get married now, so we're sort of cutting it down. Wanted to get married. They were baptized in our church down at Emmanuel. They wanted to be married, and I was going overseas, and I said, look, I won't be here for your wedding, but have a great time and enjoy. No, no, we're waiting for you. Why? You're going to be best man. Oh, really? So I was best man. And then at the wedding, her mother was there. And guess what? Her mum is now a Christian as well. And so we can take opportunity, and sometimes it takes time, but we just need to be faithful. Okay. So what I'm saying, I've written down who's with me. So who, I don't want you to stand up. You don't have to put your hands up. But I'm going to see in your faces, because see, I'm good at body language. When I say who's with me, it is who is willing to take that step to maybe step out of your comfort zone and to talk to people about the Lord Jesus. Now, if we had a lot more time, and I'm not going to do it now, you don't have to be straight up front in the beginning. You can share with tracks and things, because everyone can have one of those and go to someone behind a register and say, have you had one of these before? That's all you have to say. And they say, no. You say, right, that's yours. And then you can go. You've done your bit. But then if you've learnt how to share your faith, they might say, what's this all about? Guess what? You're on. And you can go right through sharing the gospel. Okay. But what we're saying tonight is that we're all evangelists, and we're going to see why. And one of the things that I do want to look at is that, see, there's more than 11 people here, but statistically, it is said that only 2% of people will share their faith. What is 2% of all the people that are here? It's not a lot, is it? So I don't know if you will actively then do what I'm encouraging you to do. I would trust that you might. People need to hear. We need to have filters on our eyes, because people are going to a Christless eternity. And we're not talking to them. we're being secret agents. We're keeping it to ourselves often. Okay? Now, who's heard of a guy called, this is a real test, Edward Kimball? Okay. Edward Kimball is, guess who he was? He was the Sunday school teacher of D.L. Moody. And was Edward Kimball an evangelist? I'm not really sure. But Edward Kimball really was under... the Lord was talking to him. And he felt he needed to go and talk to Dwight L. Moody and share the gospel with him. And Moody wanted to be a millionaire. Do you know who D.L. Moody is, by the way? Okay, I should put that up front. And so Kimball just really felt he needed to be obedient. And he went down to the shoe store where Dwight L. Moody was working. And Moody was doing quite well. He walked into the store. There was nothing fancy about his approach. He actually walked past the store. And he got on. He was under conviction. Come back and go in. And he came back. And when he went into the store, he said to Moody, "Have you asked the Lord Jesus to be your Lord and Savior?" He said, "No, I haven't." He said, "Would you like to?" That was all that happened. He'd been sitting in under this man's class. And so under conviction, he then shared with him the Lord Jesus. And Dwight L. Moody is a hero of mine because he couldn't string the King's English together. He's a storyteller. And he just got out there and did it. You know, he felt he had to share the gospel every day. One night he'd gone to bed and he realized that he hadn't shared the gospel. And he got dressed and he got up and it was pouring rain outside of his house. And this fellow was walking by with an umbrella. He jumps out the door and he jumps under the umbrella. And he said, "Have you got a shelter in the time of storm?" And he shared Christ with him as they walked down the road. Under the umbrella. He's my sort of man. I just love D.L. Moody. Now, we see people that we may quickly push off that sometimes come to our door. So I'm talking here about Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons. And these are people who are very, very diligent, but they're lost. They do not know the truth, but they go out there every weekend because they have to. They have to knock on doors. And they're under compulsion to virtually do that as a part of being a member of that church. And so here are people that go out without any fear, even though a lot of doors get slammed in their face, and a lot of people don't want to talk to them. For me, I engage them. If the Mormon missionaries come to my place, the last lot that came spent 2.5 hours with me in my lounge room, and we had a good chat about grace. So these people are out there sharing their faith, but it's not faith at all. It's not even a truth. But they actually shame us, I think, with their diligence, and they are courageous, to use that word, about what they do. We need to lift our game. I believe. Okay. One of the things that I have learnt too is that in a church service or in a church and the church life, if we want to have a big meeting, then have a dinner. Maybe have a barbecue or have a progressive dinner. So where's this going? If you want to have a small meeting, here's the meeting that you should have. It is a meeting to understand how to share your faith. I know you're all here tonight. But if I have a meeting at my church, and I have in the past, if you're lucky, you'll get 6 or 8 people that come along. And what does that say? Either they didn't have a lot of time, or it's not something that is attractive to people. And I trust that it is a little more attractive to us. One of the things that I see as a Christian is that as I read God's word, you know what? It doesn't guarantee that we're going to have an easy life. It doesn't guarantee success or any of those things. We are simply to be soldiers for Christ. And in 2 Timothy 2:3, it says this: "You therefore must endure hardship as a soldier of a good soldier of Jesus Christ." So we are soldiers. We are not just simply here for a good time as Christians, which I know that sounds a bit tough now, but we're here to serve the Lord Jesus. We're here to serve Him. So Paul encouraged Timothy to be an evangelist. Now, was Timothy an evangelist? I'm not sure. He was definitely a pastor and a teacher. But in 2 Timothy 4:5, it says, "But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions." So he didn't have an easy time. I know it was first century. "Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry." Each of us tonight have been commissioned to be evangelists. Isn't that exciting? Each of us have been commissioned to do that. So Paul didn't say to Timothy, "You are an evangelist," or "This is your office." He said, "I want you to do the work of an evangelist." And that's what he called him to. Now, I wonder, in business today, a lot of companies look at the strength of their company, where the company is going, and they try to encapsulate a mission statement. Now, I don't know if you have a mission statement here for your church. I know we have a mission statement at Emmanuel Baptist, but I can't even tell you what it is. We worked on it. I should know it, but I don't. So I wonder, though, when I look into the scriptures, I believe that the Lord Jesus, that there is a mission statement for Him. Now, I wonder, could someone give me a mission statement for the Lord Jesus? You would use scripture. So have a think about what might be fitting for Him. A bit tough when I ask you questions, isn't it? Let me help you. This is what I believe. This is what I believe. That, and I've said it before and I often quote it, but in Luke 19:10, it says, "Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost." I believe that's His mission. That's what He came for. He came to die for sinners. So I'm looking at Jesus now, and I'm looking, we always want to be there. I've been with some folk as they've passed on, in other words, died. But we hang on last words. But I'm going to look at Jesus' last words, but I want us to look at something a little different. I want us to have a look in Matthew 8. Okay. All right, Matthew 8 says, "When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, if you are willing.'" Now, right off the bat, he knew who Jesus was. He uses the term Lord. So already he had an opinion and obviously a deep consideration of who Jesus was. He says, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Now, if a leper came to the door of this hall, he would literally stink. The smell would just go through the place. And so here's this leper comes in amongst the disciples and comes to Jesus. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, "I am willing, be cleansed." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, now listen to this, "See that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony." Now, does anyone know if he went out and was silent and didn't tell anyone about Jesus? Or did he? Do we know? Okay. So, in fact, what we're going to do is we're going to turn to the Gospel of Mark, and we're going to go to chapter 1 and verse 45. Okay, this is the same man. And it says, however, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. I wonder, when we read scripture, if we've ever read that verse that says, don't tell anyone. And we think, oh, well, I won't tell anyone either. Or are we like the Mark 1:45 that says, he went out and he proclaimed it so much so that everyone was hearing, because he used to be a leper and now he was cured. So I wonder what we would have done if Jesus said to us, don't tell anyone, and we were cured of blindness or leprosy. Do you reckon we would have talked about it? I think we might have. And so this guy couldn't help himself, and out he went and began to tell everyone. And it's something that we need to take on board. If we are soldiers of the Lord Jesus, then we need to understand that we are under new management. Okay, so there can be a sign that says, under new management. That means we no longer have ownership to ourselves. We have been purchased, not with silver or gold, but the Bible says with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. He has purchased us. And in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, if you want to turn there, you can, or you can listen. I'm going to read it in a moment. And it says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So that puts a whole different light on things. If we realize that we no longer have ownership, that we are under control. In James 4:7, it says, submit yourself therefore to God, and flee, and the devil will flee from you. So submitting yourself to God was, in other words, that on a daily basis we would come to him for orders. It's a military term. So we are soldiers. We covered that. We're soldiers. We're submitting ourselves to our commanding officer, if you like. And we're coming to him. And all these things that we've talked about so far, I think, are very important. So I'm not sure how they sit with you, but they are important for us to take on board. And why are they important? They're important because there is going to come a day when each one of us will stand before a judgment seat. And as we stand before that judgment seat, we are going to give account to how we've lived our Christian lives. And if we've been secret agents all our life, we're going to be super embarrassed to stand before our Saviour who died for us. The leprosy was cured, but there is a disease that's out there in the world now. Do you know what that disease is? That it's affecting everyone. It's a disease of sin. And that's, as evangelists, we need to be out there telling them that Jesus has the cure for sin. That's why he died on the cross. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, it says, for we must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Recently, what has struck me is the word regret. And I heard on Saturday of someone that I think might have had regret. Now, I know my brother-in-law has done skydiving. I think you jumped once, didn't you, from a plane? Didn't you? Yeah. Now, I heard someone say, hey, you shouldn't skydive because there's huge risk. So I know he survived. But we probably heard on the news there was a 60-year-old man or woman and a 20-year-old, I don't know, man or woman, I don't know. But I know as that ground loomed up to them, there would have been regret that they had jumped from that plane. And whether they knew where they were going, if they were going into a Christless eternity. And I talked about dogs before. Yesterday, I was walking my dog. We were out for an hour 20. And just up ahead was an older man, older than me, and we caught up with him. And I said, how you going? So we start walking together, and we knew some people in the street, and we started to talk about it. I put them in my pocket for someone else, not him, but I had some million-dollar bills in my pocket, as per chance. And so as we got out the front of his house, I said to him, I have something for you. That's a different one. I have something for you. And he took it. He looked at it. He said, my wife is into this sort of thing, but I'm not. And he said, take your million-dollar bill back, put it in your pocket. This is not for me. One day, he is going to stand before God in judgment, and he will probably be reminded that opportunity was there. And we need to bring opportunity for people as well. Okay. If we're going to share our faith, one of the things that we need to be doing that's an essential is we need to be spending time in God's Word. You will not share your faith, because you won't desire to, if you don't spend time regularly in the Word and in prayer. And that we need to be in the presence of our Saviour. And as we open ourselves to being in His presence, He will speak to us. And we will have conviction, like I do. We'll have conviction. I have to share. And so as we read God's Word, it's there. We will, the Holy Spirit will speak to us. And you know what we'll do? We will pray for people. And we might pray that God would bring one person my way today that I can share with. One person. Can I also ask a question? And I want you to put your hands up this time. How many people memorize Scripture? Okay. Excellent. You know what? I want to advise for all of you evangelists that you memorize Scripture, because we need to be able, as we're talking with someone, if we have a $1 million bill and we're going through the gospel, we can say, do you know the Bible tells me that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God? But one of the things that the Bible also tells me is the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, and that's what we need to talk about, is eternal life. And we can start to quote scriptures. And so I really believe that, again, we do need to learn scripture, and we need to continue to challenge ourselves as we get older. And if you want to learn how to learn scripture, ask God to help you to have a memory for it. That's what I did when I was a younger man. And my brain is still working, fortunately, and I can retain those scriptures. So that's what we need to do. God can operate in us in the first person. Again, I'll share something that Max has heard, but we're going to share it again. I get into trouble sometimes, so I think I'm doing the wrong thing. I looked online. We were leaving from the Gold Coast to come home, and we stayed at a place called Arrawarra. Now, it's just a little bit north of Coffs Harbour. Looked great online, toilet inside and all that. When we got there, I was in the gun big time. there was a toilet outside and a shower. My wife said, "What have you done?" And I said, "Look, it looked good online." And then I talked to the people next door and they had the same experience. So I'm pleased to say that. But you know, the next morning, I got up. I like to get up early, and I got up. The sun was coming up and I walked down to the beach. And as I stood there, I got my phone and I'm just filming or recording the sunrise. And I scanned around. As I scanned, here was just a bloke down the beach. And so I just came back. Next minute, this fellow's standing right next to me. I said, "Oh, g'day, how are you?" So it's just him and I on this deserted beach now. And we start talking. He used to live somewhere out where I lived. And so this is where the brain now, so we're talking in conversation and I'm thinking, should I share with this bloke? You know, like, he lives in the back of a truck. What should I do? But I think we can't judge people by appearance, etc. And so I said to him, "Have you had one of these?" So out come the $1 million bill. And I started to talk with him. He said, "You know what? I want to tell you something." I said, "First off, why did you come to talk to me?" He said, "Well, when I was down the beach, there was something inside of me that said I should come and talk to you." And he then said, "I have been searching to find God for 6 weeks and I haven't been able to. And I need to understand how." And I said, "I can help you." And we stood there on the beach and I shared the gospel with this man. And we prayed together there as well. Now, he didn't have a phone, nothing. But God can do a work. I just needed to be there. So I believe God can work in us in the first person. He can take us to places where we think, that's my plan, but sometimes it's his. We need to be available to him. Okay. All right. We're nearly done. So it's a bit past six, but if you're still with me, we'll be finished. Okay. So we need to be able to share our testimony, and we need to share what is called an elevator speech. Have you ever heard that term before? Elevator speech, when I was working for Fuji Xerox as a sales manager, my general manager, often in a sales meeting, we'd be meeting people, and he wasn't a Christian, he'd say, "Oh, you know what, this bloke here is a millionaire." And so out would come my $1 million bills to give me the opportunity to speak. So an elevator speech is that if you get into an elevator and someone says, "What do you do?" and it goes quickly to the top, you need now to be able to share your testimony, to think about what brought me to that place that caused me to be saved. What was happening in my life? And then what took place when you were saved? And what is your life like now? Because you don't need to study a theological degree to share your faith. You need to have a testimony. And if you have a testimony, you can share your faith. And I would challenge you to think about that. Okay, just last thing. We went on my wife and I and three of my sons went on a trip overseas last year. I took 150 tracks with me. And the first leg was from Sydney to Abu Dhabi. So my wife always likes the window seat, which means someone's got to sit next to me. And so she's looking out the window and this bloke sitting next to me, and it's a 14-hour flight, so I let him sleep and we had a bit of a sleep, and then we started to chat and I said, "What do you do?" And he said, "I'm studying physics in Canberra." And he was from an Eastern Bloc country, but he lived in Canberra for a number of years. So I said, "Look, I'm a pretty simple person. Can you help me with something?" "Sure." I said, "Can you help me understand how something can come out of nothing? I can't get that." And so that's where we started our conversation from. And I then had the opportunity to share the gospel with him and give him tracts as well. And you know what? He'd been in Canberra for 5 years. He was going to speak at a conference in Europe. And he said, "I've never heard this before." So God had him sit next to me so I could talk to him. we just never know. We've just got to be willing to talk. And I could tell you story after story, which I won't do because we're going to finish. But I had many, many opportunities while I was away. So it was good. All right. So we're now going to pray because you have all been commissioned to go out and share the gospel. So I'm going to pray in this commissioning service for each of us. Is that okay? All right. Okay, so let's just have a word of prayer and we're going to finish soon. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit even now would be challenging us as to how we should live our lives as soldiers. We thank you, Father, the scripture clearly tells us that we are not our own, but we've been purchased with that precious blood of the Lord Jesus. Father, may it be that our desire is a strong desire to want to share the Lord Jesus with others. We know, Father, it's scary, but we know that you are with us. We know that the Holy Spirit will help us. And so, Father, for each one that is here tonight, we look at the aspect of commissioning. We pray, Lord, for each of us that you would just move us out of our comfort zone and that we might be willing to simply open our mouth and to talk to people, be it in a very simple way. But, Father, we know you can bring people across our path who want to know and have a cure for sin. So, Father, we thank you for tonight. We pray you would challenge us. And we pray these things now in and through Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, Josh.